ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. I am the host of the show, and I'm excited that you're here. And before we get started, depending on where you're watching, if you're watching us on E360 TV, thank you for being here. Appreciate the network and appreciate you finding us on the network. Great place to watch the show. We're also on YouTube and Facebook Live. If you head over to Adventures in Truth Facebook Live page, you can actually interact with the show. You can type into the comment section. You'll see there where I have done that. And you'll be able to ask questions or comments if you have along the way. And we're also live. Where are we? I lost it. Oh, on the website, www.adventuresintruth.com. You can watch live there as well. I appreciate y'all for being here. I appreciate all of you out there that are watching. And of course, wherever you are watching, if you're liking what you're seeing, if you enjoy the show, please share it. Please like it and let people know we're here, because the more we do that, the more we get to reach people. So that's what I like to see. So anyway, today's show, I'm excited. It's supposed to be a conversation with Moshe. Moshe is having some technical difficulty, so hopefully he will be here shortly. But this conversation is about success and the mind game of success. And to start the show, I really want to be transparent about what my experience has been, because I was in a group that I participated in, and we were having a deep conversation about success. And what I found really frustrated me and upset me, because I realized that my constructs of success, and I think most of us have this experience, my construct of success is based on all kinds of layers of nonsense and all kinds of layers of stuff that's about somebody else's viewpoint of it, somebody else's understanding of it, someone else's vision or version of it. Some way or somehow it's about what's outside of myself deciding my worth and deciding my success, because it's in contrast, meaning we're comparing and contrasting. So we're going to get into that some. But the frustration of that was that the more I sat with the concept, the deeper those sort of weird belief systems went. And as I've talked to some other friends and asked them to do the same exercise, we were coming to similar results. And so I'm going to ask you to do the same as we do the introduction to the show here and carry on. I want you to spend a few minutes just being in your construct of success. What does it mean? Where did you learn it? What is its sources? When you say success, what does that mean for you? And I'm going to offer an alternative to that as we dive into the show, because I think we need to restructure how we look at success, because success is based in so much outer reflection and not inner reflection. And then I'm going to introduce, obviously, the concept of satisfaction, which we're going to get into in some detail in contrast to what success is about. And not that the two can't operate together, but the construct of success has become so twisted and so much of a mind game that it's difficult, I think, in this day and age to line up with success that isn't aligned in that fashion, because the mass consciousness is so strong and so powerful in that. So we're going to dive into that here today. But first, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will dive into some more good stuff. So we'll be right back right after this. I guess I have to come back on the screen to talk to you. fearisachoicebook.com, www.fearisachoicebook.com. Go there to check out this amazing book. I entered into a contest for the Writer's Digest 2021 self-published books. And while I didn't win an award, I did receive an incredible review, which I had hoped to have for you here, but I don't right now. But I want to tell you that this book is really powerful. And even the reviewer through Writer's Digest that read the book had the experience that I wrote the book for, which is to engage people in this understanding and a new understanding of how you can change your relationship with fear and how changing that relationship with fear has such a profound impact on your life. When we live in a fear-based consciousness or experience, we're very dumbed down in our experience, meaning the fear consciousness creates this dumbing down of our energy because we begin to limit what we engage with based on the fear. So we constrict ourselves. The purpose of Fear as a Choice is about recognizing those choices. First, that fear is an evolved process that started before you were born and began in earnest at your birth and continued through in the indoctrination of the human experience. The second part of the book, and again, this is not conspiracy theory kind of stuff. This is just energy, how energy works, how fear is used. It's a reality that you can see easily and clearly in the outline of this book. The second section is about how that fear has affected you and how it confuses and dumbs down our experience because it makes us look in places or focus into places that are not serving us and are certainly not about love and expansion. And then thirdly, about how you change that. How do I change the relationship? How do I expand through that? And the cool thing is that it all happens through you. That's the thing about this work. And what I love about what I do is it's about stimulating those things for you to begin to really investigate within your own energy, to look within yourself to understand more deeply. So www.fearisachoicebook.com. Check it out. You're going to be amazed by it. It's a great gift. If you think of someone who could use this, it's a powerful, powerful gift. And it's an easy read, but it's a powerful read. www.fearisachoicebook.com. You can check out reviews. You can get order links for Amazon and Barnes & Noble and IndieBound, wherever you like to buy books. And of course, if you've read the book, thank you. If you've left a review, even a bigger thank you. The reviews help everywhere. If you can get them on Amazon and let people know your experience, it just keeps pushing the buck up the rankings so that more and more people can see it in the Amazon algorithmic system. So I appreciate you guys very much. I appreciate it. Fear is a Choice book, fearisachoicebook.com. Check it out. I guarantee it'll help change your life. We'll be right back. All right, my world is good. My world is good. This is the year of conscious creation. And this year of conscious creation is almost over. Can you believe that we are already here? So for me, the year of conscious creation is pretty powerful. It has been an amazing year of building within the mass consciousness this energy of goodness that we can begin to create a tipping point because we are 7.5 billion unique worlds that are inhabiting this planet. We are 7.5 billion unique worlds because only you can create your reality. Only you can live your life. Only you can make the differences in your world. So my thought was back at the beginning of this year, I was wanting to figure out how I could do something that could create an impact. And I'm a guy, it's all about energy, right? So how do I do this? What can we do? There are a lot of things I don't want to do, but what can I do right now? Or not even don't want to do, but not sure what to do. Like some of these problems, some of the things that we're dealing with are so enormous that I don't see a solution, but I can help to create that solution. And that's through energy. And so My World is Good was a way of putting this energy into the mass consciousness, each of us individually, collecting this energy, holding this space of the goodness in the world so that we could begin to create a counterbalance to this sort of very myopic, selfish, profit-driven, everything is about money, everything is about what I want and who gives a shit what you want. This sort of weird control mechanism and patriarchal weirdness that has just kind of inundated our society, and we're watching it break down and fall apart all around us. My World is Good is a way of focusing into goodness without any particular need for something to be a certain way, but that we continue to bring that goodness onto this planet and into the space and into our lives. And as we build that goodness, we build a tipping point that helps to shift the mass consciousness in the direction of more love and more expansion and more growth. That's my experience. That's my viewpoint. And I appreciate all of you out there that are participating in this. My World is Good 10 times in the morning when you wake up, 10 times before you end your day, and then use it to help manage your alignment along the way. That's the power of the process. Again, doesn't require anything but your energy, attention, and intention. Join us. My World is Good. My World is Good. I use it all the time. And it really makes a huge difference because you begin to incorporate that energy and utilizing it continuously. And it creates, I forgot to mention here too, the whole point of perception. Remember, perception is all of the beliefs, ideas, concepts, and things that you have going on that you project out into the environment that is reflected back to you. So this is another way to create this flow of energy that reflects back to you the goodness. And then you begin to see more goodness. You begin to engage more goodness. You begin to lose fear. You begin to lose attachment and intensity. And you just find more space for goodness. So My World is Good. Thank you for being a part of it. I hope you continue to be a part of it. And we'll see you on the other side of the break. All right. It appears I will try to send a link, another link to Moshe, but apparently we're having a link problem. But anyway, so here we are. We're going to be talking about success, the ultimate mind game. And so where I want to start with this conversation, and sorry about the the tag on the screen. As I put the shows together, I get these funny little things that make me giggle. And so I put them down and you know, so it's sort of like a game show. Contestant number one, what is your definition of success? And I talked about this before I went into my commercial breaks. And so here we are back at what is your definition of success? So what I found, as I was saying earlier, was that at each layer I kept peeling back this idea of success, I couldn't find something that I owned. I couldn't find a source for that, for my understanding of success, that sourced through who I am and what I've experienced in my life. But what I can do and what I can tap into is something a little different, and that is this idea of satisfaction. So let's break down this idea of success for a second. So as I see it, and I'm willing to hear whatever your viewpoints are about this, but as I see how we've built the model of success and how we train the model of success and how self-help has pushed the model of success is about grind. The model of success is about pushing and forcing. The model of success is that there is only enough for you to maybe get there if you work hard enough to get there. The model of success is that somebody has to lose in order for you to win. And while that may not be evident and obvious always, it's pretty evident and obvious most of the time. And so this idea of success then becomes a stressor, becomes a point of resistance in our lives because we are focused into the resistance that is required in order to achieve this success. And then we're doing battle with everything and anything we have to achieve success, right? And I went back and back and back again. As we were having this conversation, it's a thought storm that I participate in. It's an incredible process if you've never been a part of it. Look it up. Check it out. Something definitely worthwhile to participate in. It's a place where we look at constructs in a big form and then look for the aggregates. They're called aggregates, these things, these thoughts, these beliefs, these stacks of beliefs and ideas that we have about any kind of concept. And when you encounter them, it's a powerful thing because you can start to peel them back and look at the different layers of these aggregates, these intense belief systems. And the more I peeled, the more I was seeing the same things, the more I was finding the same answers of I couldn't find a place where I had a definition of success that wasn't tied to some other outside myself version of what success was, that ultimately it was a comparing, that in order for my worth to be whatever it is, I had to have success, and that success had to be garnered and acknowledged by the outside world in order for my worthiness to be expanded in that way. So kind of a strange way to start this conversation, but it's important to, I think, to understand, and I can hear, you know, yeah, but what about the successes that I create here and the successes that I create there. I'm not saying that you can't have success. I'm saying I want you to rethink the construct of success, because at every point that I could find a place to, I got an A on a paper in my English class, and it was a big struggle. So I felt a huge success. But when I peeled back the layers of that, that success was about creating a paper that was based on an idea that was given to me by somebody else and then graded and reviewed by somebody else who was telling me whether what I had to say and my viewpoint were worthwhile. In addition to the grammar and the structure, I was being reviewed from the outside in. And so it didn't matter what I created or how I felt about what I created. What mattered, what was on the paper, and is if it matched the criteria of the things that they were supposed to. And then, of course, on a grading scale, deciding if it was good enough or not good enough, based on what the teacher's viewpoint is, based on what the teacher thinks it should be. So there's kind of all these weird little layers in here, right? And so when I did that, I realized that's kind of where, yeah, I may have felt success in a moment, but as soon as I was not in that environment anymore, that success was sort of irrelevant. Yeah, I did achieve it, but it didn't leave any lasting impression on me. It didn't leave any good stuff with me. It sort of left nothing. It was, okay, I'm past this now. Let's move on. And then that got me thinking as I dug more and more into those and going, wow, where in the success process do you get to feel good? Where do you get to experience wow? Or is it just constantly reaching for some other form of success? Well, you got here. Okay, so now that you're here, where are you going next, right? It's a constant process of where are you going next, which is an interesting parallel to the idea of evolution. It's a forced evolution versus natural evolution. And this forced evolution, again, provides this weird context, and it also creates a resistance to the nature of who we are. And so defining your success, defining what success is in your world, is really important to finding out the illusions that you have built around what it's supposed to be. But what I want to do today is I want to take it to a different place. I want us to begin to think differently about success, and I want us to think of it in terms of satisfaction. And satisfaction to me is an internal game completely. There is no sense of satisfaction that you can experience that doesn't come through you based on what you do, how you interact, how you experience. But there's even so much more to that construct, because different to the parallel universe of driving success and push and push and push, over here in satisfaction, there's more inspiration. There's more being in the process for the process, because the process becomes validating and deeply satisfying all along the way. Where in the success model, you're doing what you have to do to get to the end result. And all the things that you're probably doing in between are things you don't like, things you're not interested in, or things that don't really feel good to you. And so you have to grind through them to get there from here, right? You have to get your 4-year degree. You have to get that degree to be successful in life. So you grind through 4 years of school, learning about stuff you don't care about, learning about things somebody else told you you have to learn in order to become successful at what you want to become successful at, and then following a pre-programmed route that somebody else devised to tell you how to become the thing you want to become, or the thing you think you want to become, where the thing you think you want to become really isn't about what you think you want to be, but really about what somebody else told you you should be, because it just goes on and on and on. And I know that's like a brain twist from hell, but it's really that convoluted. Where if we take the step back into satisfaction, it's a different process. And we're going to get into that right after the break. But before we do, I want to take a moment to focus. One of my favorite parts of the show. And we're just going to shift right into it, right into this moment of focus. So the moment of focus for me is an important part of this program, because now that we've sort of fleshed out where we're going with the show, now I want to harmonize our energy in that field, because what I know is that where two or more are gathered is a tremendous impact. Where two or more are gathered continues to expand the energy. And I love that in energy, we can do anything. In energy, we can accomplish everything. It's a matter of focus. It's a matter of directing that energy. It's a matter of harnessing our energy. And that's what this moment of focus is about. Coming together in energy, and then sharing that energy, because what I know happens is that as I talk, as I share more and more stuff, you come to find out that, wow, I'm answering questions that you didn't even have to ask, because our energies are aligned in this field, and I'm tapping into that, and I'm sharing with you the various angles and avenues and things, and suddenly your questions are getting answered, and And that's a powerful, powerful impact to me. So let's start this by taking a nice deep breath. A nice deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Again, in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you do, get settled. You can kind of move around in your chair a little like I'm doing. Just sort of settle yourself into your space. In through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you become more settled, I just want you to keep breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. Settling into your space. And focusing your awareness as you let your eyes close. As you let the body relax, the head and shoulders are relaxed. The body is supple and no tension. As you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, bringing all of your awareness to focus into your heart space, into the chest, taking your two middle fingers and gently probing into the center of your chest for that little soft divot that's there in the heart space. And just give it a gentle push, just a gentle one, just stimulating that energy center. But as your eyes are closed and as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, you're focusing into the center of your heart space, into the center of breath, into the center of creation within you. Breath, for me, is the foundation of everything. It is chi, it is prana, it's life force. It's the energy that animates this being. And when we can learn to manage energy, we learn to manage, when we learn to manage breath, we learn to manage our energy. Because managing breath requires full attention in the now. Managing breath requires your presence right here, right now. And so does creation. And so does so many other things and so many other things in our energy. But the more we become conscious of our field and our energy, the more we have the ability to change it consciously and easily. So as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, focusing deeply into the center of your heart, we're going to focus this breath. We're going to count this breath. We're going to breathe in to a count of four. We're going to hold the breath at the top. We're going to rest and relax the body at that full space. And then we're going to consciously choose to release the breath, release that energy to a count of six, and purging all of the old energy and air out of the lungs as we prepare for the next moment. Prior to that, as we release all that energy and air, we're then going to sit at the bottom in a space of emptiness, in a space of void for just a moment, as we anticipate the next moment and then begin to engage again by calling forth this air and this life force and this chi and prana and creating this new moment and this new creation in this moment of life. So as we focus into breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, let's begin. As we inhale to a count of four, inhaling two, three, four, feel that fullness, feel that expansion, relax the shoulders and the neck, feeling that fullness and richness, and now releasing from the mouth, surrendering all of that air and oxygen, letting it go, surrendering it, purging as deeply as you can, releasing as deeply as you can, and then just relax into that for just a moment. Let the body relax into the void, be prepared into the next moment. And then engage and inhale, two, three, four, feel that amazing richness and fullness. Feel the power of that energy as you rest in it. And now surrender it. Two, three, four, five, six. And now rest into the void. Rest into the emptiness. Become comfortable in the not know. As you embrace this next moment and inhale. Two, three, four. Feel the fullness. Feel that complete expansion. Relaxing the body and enjoying it, seeing it through every cell of your body, and now choosing to surrender it all. Exhaling two, three, four, five, six, resting into that emptiness. Now be in the void for just a moment. Feel that anticipation. Feel that not know space. Become comfortable there as you engage the lungs and inhale. Two, three, four, feel the fullness, feel the richness. Oh, it feels amazing. And then surrender it. Two, three, four, five, six. And once again, resting in that void space, resting in the emptiness, that space of creation, resting in the nothingness without any need to be anywhere else. And continue the breath process on your own, continuing to inhale, counting it out, feeling the lungs expand in 360 degrees, each breath expanding a little bit more, just like in life, expanding even more, making sure when you're full, reaching at the top, that that fullness is in relaxation, that that fullness is non-resistant, that that fullness is in non-attachment. And then as you surrender all of that energy, proving your non-attachment, all of that energy go, let all of that air go, and let it go until there's nothing left, and be comfortable in the nothingness, no thingness. Be comfortable in that space of void. Get comfortable in not know, because your journey will take you there often. And then you continue to breathe as you breathe in new energy and new air and revitalize the entire system with this new life force energy that you've taken on. And feeling the richness of that as it cruises through your body and every cell of your body. And then consciously choosing to surrender it all again. Letting it go, letting it leave, surrendering the air, surrendering the energy, letting it purge until you reach nothing, emptiness, void. And be there, continuing to breathe a little bit longer. And as you continue to breathe, as you continue this cycle of air, take these words in, just let them wash over you. Let them inform your experience. I am the evolution of God, realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, I expand, I engage. I am. And just feel that. Feel the power of that breath coursing through you. Feel the quietness of the system as you consciously move energy and air through the system. Each time you do this, you release and cleanse so many things that you don't even need to deal with, because you're using breath and energy to shift your state. And when you do that, losing the breath and energy to shift your state, anything that's not a part of that state has to be moved, has to go. And it's a great way to begin to untangle some things that you may have in going on in your world, especially as you look at this construct of success and satisfaction, feeling that deeply, and just gently bring yourself back into the space. Bring yourself back into the space as we carry on this conversation. So we were in the space of talking about what the definition of success was. So now we're going to dive in a little further to the idea of fear or love. I'm sure there's plenty of people who set these ideas for success, and then we build goals, and then we do all of these steps to hopefully take us to this road to success. But we tend to do that from a more fear-driven space than a love-driven space. And here's why I say that. Because the success model is kind of, because it's a compare and contrast model, because it's a conquest model, there has to be elements of fear. You have to feel tentative in your experience or unworthy of your experience until you're validated by grinding it out. And I'm not saying that there isn't a point in life where that's a valuable tool to learn how to be consistent, to be disciplined, dedicated, and devoted to what it is you want to create in your world. But the model of success tends to be not so much about discipline, dedication, and devotion, but about grinding, 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 and grinding, and doing a lot of things that you may not like or want. So can you get there a different way? And I believe you can. It's very rare, I think. Even when you come into a lot of money and you come into a lot of stuff, depending on how you got there, how you strove to get there, there is a level of satisfaction there. But the depth of the satisfaction greatly changes, because what you begin to recognize is that the things you used to get you there didn't build any foundation under your success. Your success was not necessarily built on a foundation of love. It was built on a foundation of something else. And that something else can be any number of things. Can be fear, can be importance, can be self-importance, can be ego-driven, can be all those things. But what I find also about success is that success tends to be much more will-driven than if we think about satisfaction. So let's look at the other side of the track now for a minute. So fear or love. So the love, to me, is where satisfaction lives, because it is an engendered process. So you can still have desires to create things. You can still have goals to go after things. But the focus is very different. It isn't about driving toward that success. It's about aligning to the thing that I want to create alignment. It's simply, where is my energy in relation to the thing that I desire? In success, we don't care where our energy is. You're going to get it, and you're going to go, and you're going to fix it, and you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to force this, you're going to do this. On the other side of the equation, you set your desire, and then you start to move toward it by finding out where your alignment is. What is your alignment? Well, that's all of the ideas and beliefs and things that you have about yourself and your world, and how you construct them in order to create your pathway. Well, if your desire is to create something in your world, when you come from a space of desiring satisfaction, you're not hooked into the how of it. First off, you're not hooked into how it has to happen. You're connected to the evolution of it happening. It's going to happen. Your alignment is the process. So as you align, the journey becomes those alignment points. The journey becomes the unraveling or the illumination of those points that you, in success, would try to hammer through. In satisfaction, become points of deep experience and satisfaction of the process on the way to creating what it is you're creating. I hope I'm explaining that right. That the satisfaction is not just an end result. The satisfaction is what occurs all along the way. Because you are tapped in, tuned in, turned on, you are attempting and consciously aligning based on the clarity that you have about where you want to be. But what's happening is that you're being inspired to action through your desire because you're not forcing it, you're aligning with it. And so you're inspired by your energy and by your universe to take a step, to move into this action, to do this thing. And the cool thing is those actions and those things feel right. They feel like the absolute rightest thing in the moment, because it's the thing that will take you to the next step. It's the thing that will evolve you in this process of aligning to your desire, aligning to the outcome you're looking for. It doesn't tend to the hows. You don't have to attend to the hows. You attend to your energy. And as you come, you know, as you follow the energetic breadcrumbs, as they were, each time you come into a new space, you are stimulating a level of deep satisfaction because you are learning about you and learning about the things in your world that you have constructed that don't serve where you want to go. But they don't beat you over the head because you're being conscious of the process. Where in success, because you're so limited in focus and so driven on lack of worthiness until you get to the result, you don't have that same experience along the way. You're hammering your way through and you're judging yourself about the things that you notice that keep you from getting there and feeling even more less than because you're not able to get over it because you're trying to force yourself through it. And then maybe you can and can't force yourself through it. If you do, you force yourself through it and then you're forcing yourself to the next thing, but you've missed all of the deep, rewarding satisfaction of being in the moment of unraveling that energy and having it go away for good, because the desire that was born in you was a desire that was there because the evolution of the process was going to take care of so many things that have prevented you from creating in the past. And it's going to also activate all of the things that you've not allowed to be activated in your will-driven experience of trying to have success. I hope this is making sense. And if you have any questions, if you have thoughts about this, please don't hesitate to head over to the live, type it into the board there. Let me know what you're thinking. I'd love to hear it because I think it's going to be a powerful conversation if we have that. So here we are on these two streams, right? We have the success stream and the satisfaction stream. The satisfaction stream still leads to ultimately feeling successful, but the success that you feel there is so far beyond anything you could have imagined, because the foundation you built under you through the process of satisfaction has put you in a place where you have generated it all. The worthiness of who you are is what brought you to this moment, not the actions you took and the hows you figured out and the people you had to work around or whatever it is you had to do to beat your way to the top on the other side. Totally different experience, because it's not about ever thinking that there's less than anything for everyone. When you're in satisfaction, you know that everyone can experience deep levels of satisfaction. And if given that power, if focused into that power, can transform things like nobody's business. Over here in the success model, in the grind it out model, you might get there, but it's going to be a lot of grinding. It's going to be a lot of forcing. It's going to be a lot of things breaking. It's going to be a lot of derailments. Because there's no grounded foundation in that process. There is, I want this, and this is what I'm going to do to get there from here. Over here, you may still want this, but the idea is I am going to, if this thing is what aligns with my energy, if this desire aligns so completely with me, then all I have to do is find an alignment with it. Because typically, in my experience, the thing we desire ultimately is something that wants to expand us. It's something that wants to call us forward in our experience. Why would you chase a desire that's going to take you backwards? Why would you chase a desire that has no impact in your world? It makes no sense, right? So if we have a desire, it had to be born of the desire. It had to be born of something. It had to be born of expansion. It had to be born of the desire to move to a different place in my experience. Well, I want to move to a different place in my experience, but I want to move to one that's filled and fertile and alive with possibility and love and expansion and growth and inclusion and all of these things, that these concepts and ideals that bring us together, and that my personal success should contribute to the whole. It shouldn't be in lieu of, or shouldn't be as a result of somebody else's something. Does that make sense? I'm not kicking anybody out of the way to get where I want to go. I'm not beating anybody up to get where I want to go. I'm not stepping on anyone. Nobody's losing because I'm winning. That's to me is not success. If that's the direction it goes. So that's why I'm trying to migrate this idea of success to stop thinking in terms of success, because success is so fraught with so many negative constructs that it isn't useful to, it isn't useful to live there when you can simply step to the other side of the track, focus in satisfaction, take that idea or that desire that you have, sit with it, sit in your space, let it become you, and then find out how you align with that. Let it inspire you to the steps that you need to build that alignment, because the alignment is what's going to bring you to that place. So here I am having this thing. I have a desire. My desire is I want to create an impact. So let's say 10 years ago, it's been true my whole life, but I want to create an impact, but I'm not sure what that impact looks like. And I'm not sure what parts of that impact I'm interested in. Do I want to be like all over the place? Do I want to be traveling? What do I want to do? Well, that's all the hows, right? That's all the fleshing out this idea. But I don't know enough about it to put a lot of energy in nailing down all those details, because I may not like any of them. I'd rather be inspired to the details that are deeply satisfying to me. So I'm going to focus into that, and have been focusing into that for years. The cool thing is that it just keeps growing and evolving. That idea keeps, I'm in it again. Here I am. I have a show, live show 2 days a week. I have a podcast all over the planet. I have a book that's been released. It's all over the planet. I have a program that I have clients that are transforming their lives. And there's still a desire for growth in that. There's still a desire for expansion in that. And so I can do the treadmill, and I can force myself over into the success route and say, well, in order to have a successful show, you have to do this marketing tool and this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing. And you have to follow this prescribed thing, and you have to get the feedback, and you have to, if you're not doing it and people aren't listening, or you aren't getting more of this, then you're not doing it right. And you have to feel better about yourself and whatever all that is. We're over here. I'm already creating. I'm already manifesting. I'm already doing it. I'm already producing. I'm still in that space of creation. But instead of howling it to death, I stop and I just feel into it. What's my next step? Okay, here I am in this space. How do I evolve from here? And then I have to be patient, because different from the grinding mode, the satisfaction mode flows with the rhythm of your energy and flows with the rhythm of energy in a conscious way. It doesn't mean it has to be slow, but it flows in a much different pattern. It isn't a driving force. It isn't a forcing action. It's a surrendering to the next moment that's allowing me to be inspired in that moment to take the next step, take the next step. And those inspirations are not vague. They're very clear. The impetus and the power that comes behind them is extraordinary when you are focused into that idea of building satisfaction. But even more importantly, the satisfaction expands as you expand. the depth of the feeling of it expands as you expand. So that as you achieve things, as you literally in the physical world achieve something. Now, I was sharing with you about my book earlier and that I got this review and that I didn't get an award. And the funny part about it was the review meant way more to me than the award did or could have, because the review told me that the person who read my book got it. The person who read my book received the message that was sent and didn't receive it in a broad stroke, received it in detail. The way it was written, the way the concepts were conveyed, the invitation to come into the book, the invitation to come into these concepts, that's how satisfaction works to me. And so I have been living in this immense joy for the last 2 or 3 days since I received that review and sharing it with my friends and just in awe that some random person in the industry read my book and was impacted by it. And I don't mean that it's any less impactful because everybody out there, all of you who have read the book, it's just another validation in the process of satisfaction. Here is a person who's in the industry, a person who's a part of this industry that I'm sort of wending my way through. And this person felt the impact of this experience, not because I needed to club them over the head or send them 17 copies, but because I entered a contest that I felt compelled to do. I entered that contest, and that was back in last October. So it's just extraordinary. It's a simple thing, but it brings so much depth to the experience inside of me and inside of you that, wow, all of the things that I'd thought about, all of the desire that I had when I first got inspired, when I first had the download about this book, all of it is coming to fruition in its time. And it's only been out for a year, and the book continues to grow, and my experiences of it continue to grow, and my satisfaction with it continues to grow. It doesn't become a, oh, okay, that's done, cast it aside, move on. It is something that birthed through me and continues to birth through me. And that will happen with whatever comes next, whatever book, whatever program, whatever situation. It continues to grow that way. So again, migrating from this idea of success more to this idea of satisfaction. It doesn't change that we can set goals. It doesn't change that we can have a focus that we want to attend to. But what it will do is it will change the dynamic of how we move into our lives. We'll stop allowing ourselves to be out of balance in order to create that success. We will stop allowing ourselves to be constantly hounded by how we get things done, because how doesn't matter. How is irrelevant. How will be helped by connecting to the desire and aligning to that energy, allowing it to inspire you and carry you down this beautiful path of least resistance to coming to that alignment and that realization. Because sometimes as you take that journey, the thing that you had envisioned originally doesn't even apply anymore. I've had that happen with cars. For at least two years, I was hyper-focused into I wanted a Mini Cooper. I wanted a Mini Cooper. This was before I got my Ford Fusion, which I don't have anymore either, but I wanted this Mini Cooper so bad, and I focused on it all the time. And I went and looked at them, and it took me a while to finally get there. But when I finally got there and looked at them, it was a cute car. It was fun. It was zippy. It was a little noisy. It didn't, you know, it didn't tick all the boxes as I thought it would. It was in my mind that this car was my car. When I found my Fusion at that time, I didn't realize how much I was off the mark with the other car. So in my head and in the things that I took in from the environment, I had came up with this construct of Mini Cooper, and I kind of played with that. And I thought, well, all of the things say, you know, feel about that. How does it feel to be in it? Go drive the car, get connected with that energy. So I did all those things. And what I got was a Ford Fusion. But let me tell you about the Ford Fusion. The Ford Fusion was everything I could have wanted in a car. Everything I wanted in a car. The look, the feel, the comfort, the drive, the noiselessness. I had that car for 280,000 miles, people. 280,000 miles that car gave me. I can't think of a better feeling of satisfaction than to know that I had a desire for a vehicle that would support me in what I was doing and would give me that that I would have a sense of self with this car, that I would love this car, that I would enjoy driving this car, that I would have all these positive experiences. And it was all that and so much more. But that's the kind of things. But again, coming back to the origin of the story, the origination of the story was I wanted a Mini Cooper. When I then compared and contrast the two, doesn't even come close. And I've driven the Cooper, and it's a sweet little car, but it is nothing like what I had with my Fusion, and nothing like the level of satisfaction that was generated through the process of that process. Because when I went to go look for cars, and I started looking at Coopers, and then I started looking at other things, and the evolution of that process was about feeling into it. And so I was looking for the inspiration. I was looking for those connections. Excuse me. So I was looking for all those connections. And as I followed the path, as I followed the inspiration, I ended up at a dealership that I probably never would have gone to, but there was a car there that I saw in an ad that I saw in two different ads pointing to the same destination. And I thought that was my car. And I went there and looked at the car and didn't like the car at all, but it is where I found my car. Here's the thing. The inspiration, if you're about the house, then you're going to go, oh, it's not there. I'm leaving. I'm done. If you're about the inspiration, if you're about the satisfaction, then you're like, okay, all these things pointed me to here. So here I am. Where's my next step? Where am I? I'm feeling into this. And in this case, I was in the parking lot. I drove two other cars. I didn't like them. And then I noticed a car at the end of the line, and it had an interesting front to it. And I went, what is that? Curious. And I wandered down to the end of the line, the only car like it in the entire lot. Went down to the car and went, ooh, this is a hot looking car. I've never seen one of these before. And then I went and looked in the car, and the interior rocked my world. And it was at that moment that I knew that was my car. And when I got in the car and I sat in the seat wrapped itself around me like it was saying, welcome, welcome home. And I was just sitting in the car going, oh my gosh, are you kidding me right now? This is amazing. And then I took the car out, and the car and me and the car just became one at that point. And not only that, but the process of buying the car took 2.5 hours at most from top to bottom. It was seamless. It was easy. There was no fuss, no muss. I didn't get a headache. I wasn't frustrated. It was just a easy peasy process. And I drove off the lot with a car that carried me for 280,000 miles and drove all over the country. And I mean, I could go on and on about that car. It was a spectacular vehicle. And my next vehicle that I got happened in the same fashion. And that's, again, because the satisfaction is what I'm seeking. And out of that satisfaction comes my success, because the satisfying nature of it is just filled with success in my world. And I think it's true for all of us out there. But we have to start from a place of how do we define success and understanding what that looks like, right? So let's evolve the concept of success. Let's move on from where we've been. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and finish up for today. We'll be back right after this.
The Science of Transformation Method. And I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. Y'all, www.thesciencetransformation.com. I would love to work with you. All the things that I talk about here, I work with my clients with. This is all foundational stuff to the science of transformation. Science Transformation is about rewiring the brain to the view from 50,000 feet is the quickest way to say it. But the idea of getting into an expanded place, being able to handle your relationship with fear, but not only handle it, transform it. And out of that transformation, coming into a much more open space now. But the science of transformation also helps you to reframe your experience. Because see, what happens with humans is that when we have an experience that we don't understand, we tend to look back in history to try to understand it. We tend to look for back in our warehouse here to see what we can collect to bring understanding to this new thing. And why the science of transformation is so profound is because it's not about that. It's about reframing your current viewpoint so that the things that you are desiring, the things that you want to create are in the movement of your evolution, in the movement of where you're going. So if you are experiencing things in that process, we want to reframe how you're looking at them so that you're looking at them from the viewpoint of the satisfaction versus the success model. It is not diminishing or trying to take away from what you want. I can tell you that with the hundreds of clients that I've worked with over the years, that the transformation all happens from within. This is not a process of band-aids. This is a process of you going into you and transforming from the inside out in a way that you never really knew was possible, because it doesn't have to be hard. It can be challenging at times. It can be emotional at times. It can be like revelatory a lot. There are a lot of things that happen in this process, but the main things are about reframing your experience and helping you to build this new foundation in this space of non-resistance. And I encourage you to check it out, www.thesciencetransformation.com. You can set up a consultation with me. It's free. I'm happy to talk to you about the program in depth, talk about what you're thinking and how you're feeling, and really dive into how this process can assist you. Then I also offer an introductory package so that you can experience the first two sessions for the price of one session, and you get the opportunity to experience in continuity so that you'll get even deeper understanding of how profound this process is. So, all right. Carrying on, we are evolving the concept of success as we wind down for today. So the whole point of this show is to recognize the mind game that success has become in our world, and to disengage from it, to make a different choice, to shift to an idea of I want to create satisfaction, and let yourself begin feeling into your experience more instead of contriving your experience or forcing your experience or detailing out how it's going to happen. Let it unfold, because the surprise and delight that you will experience in that fashion will be so deeply satisfying, because all along the way, you're going to learn and grow and become deeply connected to all of who you are and all that you have to offer. And it's a self-validating process, where here the validation seems to come from outside of self. And if you're strong enough to manage to beat yourself into submission enough to get to the success, then you might get that validation. But again, there's no foundation under that. There's no foundation of you and your energy and the satisfaction of having created to this point and created to this point and created to this point and created to this point. And I can't even begin to tell you the number of inspirational experiences I've had in the path on the journey that were so deeply profound that it was almost like, wow, is this what I was looking for? And it's not, it's just another step in the journey. But the validation and the experience of that is so powerfully profound and so deeply moving. But then you get to appreciate that, and you get to live and relish in that energy. And the more you do, the more you build this momentum of deep satisfaction, because you keep stimulating and desiring that energy, and you keep wanting more of that energy. And as you allow that to happen, it becomes greater and bigger and has even more incredible experiences in it. And you get to experience that all along the way. That's why I am encouraging this. That's why I'm supporting this. That's why if you're not sure how to get there from here, give me a call. Let's bring you into the science of transformation. Let's have you work through the program, because it will take you there, and you will be surprised and delighted and deeply satisfied with what you discover. So I think that's about it for today. What a powerful conversation. I'm sorry Moshe couldn't be here with us, but we had a great conversation anyway. I'm glad that you were here. Thank you for being part of the show, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time on Adventures in Truth. And I really deeply appreciate you all, and we'll see you on the other side. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thesciencetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.